If you will, turn in your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, and we're going to take as our text this morning verse number 14. And we'll get down through verse 16 in our study today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Here in this passage, as Paul is writing here to these churches in Galatia, he reminds us of the law of liberty, as the Scripture calls it. It is also called the royal law. It is the law of the Lord Jesus that he declares to us there in Matthew chapter number 22. And here Paul speaks to that second part of this law when he tells us there in verse number 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy to us. We pray that you'd help us in this time as we've gathered together, that you would open your word before us, that you'd give us understanding of these things that we have, Father, before us today, that we might learn of them, that we might see our own shortcomings in them, that we might be drawn closer to you because of your word, because of what you have done for us, by the examples, Father, that you've left for us to glean from and to learn from and to model after. We just pray that you'd help us, that we might be a people that are truly seeking your face, truly desirous of a walk that is pleasing to you, that this would be found in our lives, Father, that we would be those that would strive in our lives to fulfill your royal law. Go with us this day as we look to your word. Open it before us. Give us understanding again of these things. Bless those that are here with us today and those that are away from us. We pray your grace upon them. Give them what they have need of this day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. "For all the law," Paul says, "for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We are in a time in our own world, in our society that we are living in even now, that this is a passage, a reality that we are called to, that we find can be very hard from time to time. Given the division that is in our world, and we know, we like to, in the division that is so openly seen before us, we like the idea of relegating it to, well, it's just politics, Well, it's just, we just see things different. It's just politics. But we realize it goes much deeper than that. That this is a matter of righteousness and unrighteousness. And that this division that is in our country, this division for that matter that is in our world today, is a difference of worldview. It is simply that. We have or strive to have a spiritual or a biblical worldview, as the Scripture declares to us how we are to live and what we are to do in this world and how we are to face the things that are in this world. And the rest of the world has a secular worldview. They are only concerned with what is in front of them, how they feel about it in the moment, and that's That's what governs their mindset, what governs their decision making. It's what governs the paths that they follow. And these two opposites, and they are opposites, the biblical worldview and the secular worldview, they are total opposites. And in that opposite viewpoint of what the world is and how we view it together, when we come in this and our desire is to serve the Lord and to have the mindset and to have the viewpoint that He has got, we find that we are butting up against this secular worldview. And in that, it is necessary for us as God's people to restrain ourselves, because it is just as easy for us as it is the rest of the world to get angry, to get aggravated, to demand our rights, to demand what we want, and we can just as easily find ourselves being just as demanding as those after the secular worldview are. And yet the Scriptures have called us, the Lord has called us, to approach it in this, when we butt up against it, we are to approach it in this manner, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And let me tell you, that's difficult. Extremely difficult. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord, in His direction in this, if you hold your place here, go back with me to Matthew chapter 22. And we see this, the law given here. Matthew chapter 22, and the question was asked of the Lord by a lawyer there that day, what is the great commandment in the law? The Lord gives this. We've read this particular verse many times. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's so simplistic in how we are to serve the Lord, laid out for us here, and yet it is the most difficult thing that we would ever attempt to do, something that we fail continually in. But He gives this law for us, and He says that there are two commandments the Lord gives here. When He is asked, what is the great commandment in the law? This is the way they were trying to trap Him. And He sums up the whole of the law in these two things. And He says here in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, we read those two laws and we have no problem whatsoever with the first. Yes, indeed. That's exactly right. Love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Yes, that's what we are to do. But now, the love thy neighbor as thyself, Lord. You have to remember who my neighbors are. And you know that that's not easy. That you know, Lord, that that's not going to be easy for me, because you see how mean they are. You see how vindictive you are. You see how aggravating they are. You see how they get on my last nerve. You see, Lord, and we struggle with that second one. Listen, we struggle with the first one, but our minds are okay with the first one. It's the second one that causes us the issue. But what Paul reminds us of here in our text this morning is that we can't fulfill the first one unless we're doing the second one. Because it's in that second one, love thy neighbor as thyself, it's in that, you see, that we are able then to fulfill the first. In other words, if you can't love your neighbor as yourself, you can't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. We're not able to do that without doing the second. And so this is a problem for us. When we see this directive given to us in the Scripture, we understand the problem. And so we have to begin, first of all, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? In Luke chapter 10, we see this as it's brought to the forefront, this thought, one who is trying to justify his actions asked that question of the Lord, who's my neighbor? Jesus gives a pretty clear answer here, a big portion of Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, we read of the asking of it. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? You want to inherit eternal life? Do the whole law. And what does it say to you? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus." So even in this, he knew the answer. He had the right answer, but knew he didn't keep it. And so he sought to justify himself. Well, obviously you mean certain neighbors. Who's my neighbor? And so he says in verse 30, and Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there. He was where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." The law couldn't do anything for him. Religion couldn't do anything for him. His neighbor is the one who helped him. Verse 34 says, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And then the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" As far as proximity, as far as nearest to him in person, this Samaritan was the farthest one away. He's from another country. And yet, this man answers correctly again, and he said, verse 37, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So who is our neighbor? Whoever we come in contact with. Doesn't matter the proximity of that individual to us. It doesn't matter where they may live. It doesn't matter our relationship to them. It is just whoever is there. That is our neighbor. Whoever is there. It's not just one who lives by us. It's also the clerk in the store and the policeman in his car and the worker on the assembly line, the stranger on the street, the happy, the well-dressed, the affluent, to the dirty, the down and out, the homeless. It's quite a range of people that falls into that category of neighbor. Even our enemies are our neighbors. Galatians chapter 6, Paul says here in verse number 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. turned over part of it. Galatians 6:10, he says, "And we have therefore opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, but do good unto all men." We must take on the idea, and for that matter, the effort, in the "how do I love myself" thought. As he says here in our text there in verse 14, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Does that mean that I should never be angry with my neighbor? Or never be disappointed with him? No, I get angry at myself. I get disappointed at myself. Especially when I say it, when I sin rather, or fail in some task. Don't much like me in those instances. When I become ashamed or embarrassed by myself, I do not like myself very well. But when it comes right down to it, I still love me. I still love me. I still, no matter how bad I may feel about myself, when it's time to eat, I'll go get me something to eat. I'll take care of what needs to be taken care of for me, you see. And so it doesn't mean that we'll never get angry. It doesn't mean that we'll never be disappointed. It doesn't mean that we'll never get aggravated at our neighbors. But we are to love them. We're to love them just as we love ourselves. Making and taking care that their needs are met. That we help in every way we can help them. Ephesians 5 and verse number 29, as Paul uses this example here of the relationship between husband and wife. And let me tell you, you ain't going to get no nearer neighbor than your spouse. I mean, they're there, right? And he says here in chapter 5, as he's describing that relationship between husband and wife and how that displays the love of Christ for His churches and His desire to give them all they have need of. He says there in verse 29, let me read verse 28 as well there with it. He says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." It's natural for us to love self. And that's so evident when we look in the mirror, isn't it? I mean, we see ourselves. When we're standing there in that mirror, we see ourselves as a lot prettier than we actually are, usually. I look at myself in the mirror and think, well, I look pretty good. And then I'll see a picture of myself and think, who's that fella? That's not what I saw this morning when I looked in the mirror. Now, there are those that get pushed to the point of hate of themselves by their emotions, by circumstances and situations that come in their life. They take drugs, alcohol. Some even go as far as to commit suicide. But that's not the normal way. That's a mind and a heart that has been poisoned against itself. That's not the normal way. That's not the... And there's even some arguments there that you can make for the selfish need for self in doing those very things, even. most all that have I've ever talked with, most all that I've ever examined this thought with, they want the best for themselves. Some have different ideas on how to achieve these goals, but basically all are the same. They want the best for me. Now, what does this mean in context with our question? We should want the absolutely best for our neighbors, just as we want the best for ourselves. We should want even the best for our enemies, just as we want the best for ourselves. I mean, there's no clearer picture of that than the Lord Himself hanging on the cross and saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A vengeful attitude is not loving our neighbor. "I'll get them back," in no way displays the love that Christ has for us. For there are many, countless times that He would have every right to say that of us. And never once has He thought it nor uttered it. This is the love He's called us to. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 2, Romans 15 and verse number 2, He says here, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." We do this, he says, for our neighbor's edification. We love our neighbor. We do good for our neighbors that we might build them up, that we might be edifying to them for their betterment. James, it says in James chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says here, "We do well," here in James 2 and verse 8, "if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture." That royal law is the very thing that the Lord quoted there in Matthew 22. It's the very thing Paul is addressing in our text of Galatians. James says here, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." He calls it there the royal law. There in verse 12 of the same passage, he calls it the law of liberty. The law of liberty. It don't feel much, even, when we are loving our neighbors as ourselves, that it is a liberty for us. Especially when we're having to push down pride. And we're having to push down our own feelings from the past and the mistreatments and the abuses that were done to us. To have to push those down in order to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's hard for us to view that as the law of liberty. But even in this, even in that denying ourselves for the edification of our neighbors, in that there is a liberty that can only be in Christ. It don't make sense to us in ourselves. It doesn't make sense to us in our natural thinking, but there's a liberty in that comes by the power of Christ. As He moves on our hearts, as He speaks to us in that, as we strive to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, we read the verse where he says that we are to do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. And it's easy, I guess, to love the brethren. Or at least it should be. They're supposed to be the folks that have the same viewpoint as us. They're supposed to be the folks that have the same worldview as us. And so it should be easier for us to love the brethren. That may not always be the case. Might have those brethren out there that are just that type, you know, that are just aggravating, they're just going to rail on you, they're just going to strive against you, they're just going to do everything they can to aggravate you to death. But by and large, the love of the brethren should be easier. We're commanded to love the brethren. In many occasions, the Scripture gives us concerning that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, Paul says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Love one another. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. He says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king." 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Notice verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." He says in verse 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." He who loveth God loveth his brother also. In fact, again, we can't do this. What John tells us here in chapter 4, we can't love God except we first love our brethren. In the fulfillment of the second, you see, we are able then to fulfill the first, but you can't have the first without the second. If we do not love the brethren, if we struggle even in that, and I like how John puts it here in verse 7, he begins, "Let us love." He says, "Let us love." Then he tells us in verse 21, oh, by the way, it's the law. You have to. You're going to if you are in Christ, he says, but let us love one another. But if we struggle with loving the brethren, if we struggle with giving of ourselves to them, how can we possibly love our neighbors who have a different worldview, that don't think the same way we think, that goes the opposite direction from what we see the Scriptures declare? And if we do not love our neighbors, how then can we fulfill the law of Christ? How then can we be pleasing to our Lord? You see, there's a desperate problem that arises in this. We're not able to do this. We're not able to keep this law. We have to be empowered by Christ Jesus to do it. He has to be the one that gives us that ability. He has to be the one that gives us that strength. And so that means that each and every day we have to come to Him to have Him empower us to do this very thing, to fulfill His law. Lord, give me love for my neighbors. Give me love for my neighbors today. Give me love for those that I work with. Give me love for those that I'm going to come in contact with today. Lord, give me love that as I go forward in Your name this day, that I might be pleasing to You, that I might love my neighbor as myself. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12. We read here in verse 32. Down through verse number 34. Mark chapter 12. The Lord has just said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And He says, "There is none other commandment greater than these. Love the Lord thy God, love thy neighbor as thyself." And the scribe said unto Him, verse 32, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Did you hear what he said? To fulfill the royal law of Christ is greater than every other thing, every other sacrifice that could be given. Boy, he spoke some truth there. It's greater than every sacrifice, every offering, simply to love God and to love our neighbor. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. You're not far from it there. This man realized in his answer to the Lord here his own condition, and realized that even in his best efforts, he wasn't there. It was why he answered discreetly. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." He goes on to say there in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It is by Christ Jesus that we live today. It is by Him that we breathe. It's by Him that we have life eternal. It's by Him that we love. So to fulfill this royal law, to fulfill the law of Christ, this law of liberty, to love our neighbors as ourselves, we have to be empowered by Christ to do so. We need Him. We need Him to give us the strength to do it. And so he says in verse 15 of our text, Galatians chapter 6, or I'm sorry, 5 and verse 15. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. He's talking to churches here. He's talking to churches. You see, God's people can act just like the world if we give ourselves place. If we allow ourselves. If we're not seeking the power of Christ each day, we can behave, we can act just like the world. And he says here, we can devour ourselves, devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And he says, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need Christ Jesus each and every day. We need to be seeking Him. Lord, give me strength this day to serve You. Lord, give me strength today to love You as I ought. Lord, give me the power today to love my neighbor as I ought. We don't have the ability in ourselves. We don't have the strength to do it. If we're honest with ourselves, there's a great deal of time we don't have the want to do it. We need Christ. Oh, how we need Him. Every single day, we need Him. We cannot live without Him. We must have Him. Seek Him. Seek His face. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, direct us. Lord, give us power this day that we might serve You like we ought. Let's all stand. Brother Jonathan, you bring us a song.